As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide supports financial professionals with client-friendly resources and innovative solutions to help create greater retirement security for their clients. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Consolidation makes sense in a growing world, but what we have right now is consolidations taking place in a flat world, and that's more concerning.
The big issue is the role of government. That's where the differences are. That's where the American public's conflicted. That's the key issue I think that this election's going to pivot on.
You don't want to be out of bonds because you want to be sure that you've got a less volatile portfolio, so don't be out of fixed income even though those rates are low, because fixed income plays a really important role in your portfolio, especially in retirement.
Bloomberg Surveillance, your link to the world of economics, finance, and investment on Bloomberg Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Michael McKee and Tom Keene. Thrilled to have you on board with us on economics, finance, investment, on international relations, on the studio apartment I can't afford in Midtown Manhattan. We'll do that here in a bit and talk about real estate nationwide as well. Bloomberg Surveillance, brought to you by Cohn Resnick Accounting Tax Advisory to seize opportunities in commercial real estate. Your business needs market-focused guidance from the industry-leading experts at Cohn Resnick. Find out how at CohnResnick.com. CohnResnick, CohnResnick.com. On the data front, the yen, what a dash to 107 this morning. We didn't get there. 108.48 right now. Still very strong yen. And I would note, Mike, also German yields lower this morning.
The whole
again.
German curve moving lower.
Yeah. I mean, it's just sort of a move into the negative space. Copper off as well, off $4 on Chicago copper, 209.90. Futures deteriorate, negative 12. Dow futures, negative 91. Why don't you start with John Miller? We sat him over by you because I want to punch him over what the price of real estate's doing.
Well, I mean,
it's his fault.
Wow.
There's good news, though, Tom, in John's latest report. You can't buy anything, but you might be able to rent something, right? Rents actually in Manhattan fell in the first quarter?
Fell?
Yes. On a year-over-year basis, the median rent is down for the first time after 24 consecutive months.
Okay, my entire staff of 25-year-olds is coming in here to take notes. Why Yu Yen just fell off his chair?
It's been a long time since we've been having this discussion, but I don't know if I would get your hopes up too high in the sense that they're going to continue to fall simply because the rental market is sitting within a very vibrant local economy. New York City is running on all cylinders right now with record employment growth and above trend population growth. So it's a unique time.
What about the rest of the boroughs?
Just as a comment, why they're declining, it really is because the higher end, the upper half of the market is where all the supply is, and that's softer. But the lower end, sort of the entry level market, is still the rents have been rising quite a bit. But we've hit sort of an affordability threshold, I think. And as a result, what we're seeing in the outlying suburbs, record sales activity.
So those $30 million apartments in the 100-story building across the street here, our 25-year-olds will get a break on those, but
right,
the things that they would normally live
not
in.
Not so much.
No, okay.
Right.
So stay where you are.
But as far as the outer boroughs go, we're still seeing rent growth in Brooklyn. Brooklyn is still the outlier of the boroughs, both in the sales market and the rental market seems to be leading the way. And we're seeing softness in Queens. So I think the region itself is seeing weaker rents on average, but it really is you have to look under the hood to see where it's actually changing.
Is it a pause? When we overbuild, or is it going to start coming back again as the weather gets warmer, et cetera?
No, I mean, you know, we're taking into consideration seasonal. It really, what it is, and it's whether you're talking about the sales market or the rental market in the New York metro area, whether we're talking boroughs or suburbs, the way to characterize the market in general is soft at the top and firmer in the middle and lower sections, segments of the market. And that has been the developing phenomenon over the last year.
I saw you quoted in a story, talking about those 100-story safe deposit boxes on billion, what do they call it?
Billionaire's Row on West 57th.
Yeah. Like one of them has been now postponed or something like that?
Yeah, 111 West 57th, which was has a very small footprint. It's one of the super talls, as the British like to call them. They're going to delay a hardcore sales effort for at least a year just to get a sense, just to see if the market starts to sort of restart for that.
You're the Jonathan Miller with us, folks. You're the expert on this. I get this nationwide all the time, particularly in New York and Boston and in Washington. On the properties that we see in the New York Times Magazine, what are the taxes on those properties? Or is it such a scam that they're paying a lot less than we think they should?
Well, it really depends on the property. So if you're talking about a modest $20 million townhouse, you might be talking about real estate taxes of $75,000 or $100,000 a year.
Are they paying their fair share, $20 million, or even the starter that Mike McKee's looking at $4 million?
Right.
Forget Donald Trump. Tom is leading the protest effort here.
No, I get this all the time.
No, I mean, I think when you think about the way that real estate taxes are calculated, certainly on the condo market, proportionally versus single family, that there's less taxes paid
on a condo.
Yes.
Okay, fine. But are the fat cats paying their fair share as they park their non-investment analysis gajillions in our property?
Well, first of all, I want to disclaim that I don't know any fat cats. So,
come on, they're lined up 10 deep in 4 zip codes. They don't care what the price is. They just put the money there.
Right.
Are they
right.
paying their fair share of taxes? It's like my number three question I get.
Well, I don't know about fair share, but if you compare it by property type, there's definitely disparities within the tax system for residential real estate in New York, and it's been that way for a long time. It becomes more exaggerated when you're talking about price points that are, you know, at levels that we've never seen before. $50, $100 million.
Mike, I'm looking at a chart from Metrocosm, and this is the kind of stuff that's out in the media. And it shows 15 Central Park West, which is, I know that's a starter place for you. You're such a hitter, Jonathan. But 740 Park Avenue, the Ritz-Carlton, blah, 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 blah. And they're paying way less
Absolutely.
Than somebody with a three-bedroom in Queens trying to figure out if the number 7 works today.
Right. There's clearly a disparity in the tax system between.
Why?
I didn't write it. I didn't negotiate it. I don't know. It's just that's the way it's always been, and it's been that way, and there's clear disparity between single-family tax classifications and multifamily. It just that's the way it's set up. And
I don't mind the condo. Mike, help me here. I don't mind the condo single-family home thing. I get that. Mm-hmm. But what I don't get is the perception I hear from viewers, thank you, and listeners, thank you so much for enjoying Bloomberg surveillance, that the guy, name the borough, who's
right.
let's say they're making 250, 240, all in, three people working, whatever. They got a tax bill. Great.
Yep.
And the fat cats, and I don't mean 157, they all pick on that monstrosity. I mean some fancy pants condo in downtown, are they paying the same in that 7-story condo downtown?
The valuation is set up based on the assessment. It's the rate that is different for
so
the
they're assessed
type.
Differently is the issue.
It's the tax rate for each classification is different. So the tax classification of what would a condo would fall in is at a lower rate than a single family.
I know that, but
it is proportional to value. So if you look at a condo in, you know, that's selling for $10 million and a condo that's selling for $2 million, proportionally, they're fairly consistent, assuming there's no tax abatement.
Is it the same kind of complicated story in a place like San Francisco? I mean, we're looking
at good question.
New York real estate is terrible. San Francisco prices are terrible. Do they have the same issues?
Oh, absolutely. One of the disadvantages they have over us is that they can't expand outward and they can't go higher because of earthquake country. Here we seem to have figured out a way to go higher. And in Atlanta, you spread outward.
Mike, your apartments here, 740 Park Avenue, number 12 and number 13, you combined those, didn't you?
Right, right.
They say this article says their actual valuation should be $50 million, and the value of the property tax is like under $4 million.
Well, actually, in the case of 740 Park, which is a co-op, and actually there was a fire in that building yesterday, that the taxes for co-ops by the city are actually calculated as if it were a rental.
Exactly.
Which is a machination.
I'm just telling you that I get almost as many questions on this as I do there's no inflation. Drives our listeners nuts when economists say there's no inflation.
Right, right. I imagine.
I don't mean to beat you to death. We want you to come back. But this is a huge issue for people.
I'm happy to come back as long as they don't think that I hang out with.
Okay, we got to come back. Jonathan Miller with us. Miller Samuel.
Well, definitely not with us.
Futures at negative 11. Dow futures at negative 80.
All right, let's check in with Michael Barr now and get the latest national headlines.
Mike, Tom, thank you very much. The head of a UN counterterrorism task force has opened a first-of-its-kind conference in Geneva by declaring that there is no quick fix, there is no magic wand with which to confront violent extremism. The two-day conference includes government envoys, civil society advocates, social media gurus, and UN officials. It's part of UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon's efforts to address the root causes of terrorism. A local official says dozens of insurgents are dead after a pre-dawn attack on a Pakistani security post along the Afghan border that sparked an hours-long gun battle. Firefighters are setting backfires to try to corral a wildfire that jumped the Colorado River from Arizona to California. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus from around the world. I'm Michael Barr.
Michael Barr, thanks so much. Coming back, I promise I'll be civil to Jonathan Miller of Miller Samuel. We'll have a civil conversation on the uncivil business known as your next property. Bloomberg Surveillance.
The news update brought to you by Flushing Bank. Open a complete business checking account with $15,000 or more and get a free 16-gig Wi-Fi tablet. Visit FlushingBank.com for details. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures moving lower this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Vince Signorella. Good morning, Vince.
Good morning, Karen. As you say, U.S. futures are lower. Dow is down 81, S&P down 11, NASDAQ down 20. The 10-year yield is slightly lower at 1.73%. Dollar is mostly higher, with the one glaring exception of dollar yen, which is off its 108.02 lows, trading at 108.35. On the U.S. economic front, at 8:30 we have initial jobless claims, 10:30 EIA natural gas storage change, at 3 p.m. consumer credit. After the bell, Fed Chair Janet Yellen takes part in a discussion with former Fed chiefs Ben Bernanke, Alan Greenspan, and Paul Volcker. In some of today's top news, J.P. Morgan shareholders proposing that Jamie Dimon no longer hold dual role as chairman and CEO. Monsanto says it's no longer sees large-scale M&A as a strategy. The U.S. bracing for first-quarter company earnings expected to show the steepest drop in 6.5 years, led by the energy sector. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Vincent Signorella. Karen?
All right, thanks, Vince. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen, thanks so much. Greatly appreciate that. Good morning, everybody. Bloomberg Surveillance. This morning, and as Karen mentioned, negative 10, and Vince mentioned negative 77 on the Dow as well. Lots to talk about with John Miller. First, though, Bloomberg Surveillance, brought to you by Invesco. Factor-based strategies can help investors focus on high quality, low volatility, and more. Learn more at Invesco.com/high conviction. Invesco.com/high conviction. Jonathan Miller with us, with Miller Samuel. For all of our listeners nationwide, we get a huge response when you're on. It's sick. How much down payment do I need?
Well, for the most part, it's 20% unless you go through FHA, and then you can get 3.5%.
It's like 12 people, right, in the country.
It is one of the reasons why bank lenders, the credit conditions remain fairly tight on that side of the lending circle. And that's one of the reasons why we're seeing, you know, rising prices across the U.S. It's sort of choking off inventory still to this day. And this has been going on for...
So the rising prices on a microeconomic basis is because there's nothing out there for sale.
Correct. It's not about wage growth.
You know that.
Maybe recently. Yeah. It really, that's been the driver. In fact, if you look at NAR's existing home sale numbers, just over the last 2 years, the year-over-year patterns for inventory have either been negative or flat. And that is correlated with rising home prices.
Well, you know, as an economist, you'd say then markets will clear; they will build more houses. But why are they not meeting the demand?
Well, there's a lot of moving parts. One of them is the emphasis on building over the last few years has been skewed towards the higher end of the market, and part of that is because land sales remained stubbornly high, and so as a result. When you have higher going in costs, you have to create housing that's skewed to the high end. So the supply at the, say, the lower half or the lower third of the market doesn't get additional product, and that keeps it tight. And that's why there's this pattern of sort of, you know, weak at the top. I'd like to say it's like an ice cream cone, sort of soft at the top and firm everywhere else, but that's probably a bad analogy. And this is pervasive, not just in urban markets, but in suburban markets. Outlying suburbs, the high-end markets, tend to be the softest. Maybe it's a timing issue where the high-end markets sort of peaked first, and now we're looking at the rest of it.
Well, is there what's the hottest market in America?
Ooh.
Yeah, within two blocks on the Upper West Side.
Well, you know, the way, first of all, I don't use the word hot because then I'd be like, it would be uncomfortable saying hot. But the way I look at it is, you know, we have just in the New York metro area, we have pretty brisk activity. The outlying suburbs.
Brisk, folks. Can I transfer Jonathan Miller talk? Brisk means you can't afford it.
The brisk translation means that the pace of absorption, meaning the number of months it would take to sell all the inventory at the current rate of sales, in the outlying suburban markets and in some of the boroughs like Brooklyn, are extremely low, 4 or 5 months, whereas, you know, something more balanced might be 6, 7, 8 months. So it's very fast, and it's very fast because you have elevated sales activity despite the problems with credit, in addition to chronically low inventory, except at the very high end, right? The super tall sort of phenomenon that we've had in New York, that's where the activity has really
gone. $1,592 per square foot, two bedrooms, two bath. This is a tiny place. It's got zero charm. It's on the Upper East Side, a great address. $2.4 million. What's the taxes on that puppy?
Is there any hot neighborhood in New York now?
So right now, is that a co-op?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a condo.
It's a condo.
It's been listed for 6 days, so it's probably already gone.
Yeah. You know, the way to think of it right now, sort of the average monthly common charges, real estate taxes and common charges together is about between $1.80 and $2 a foot per month. So if you have 1,500 feet, the average is around
3,000 bucks.
That's right.
Everybody drove off the road outside a 100-mile radius of New York and Boston.
Right.
3,000 a month. And that's just the monthly carry.
Yeah, that's bucks. But part of that's deductible if it's real estate taxes. But that's the number.
Oh, you're killing me. Help me, Mike. I'm speechless. I'm speechless.
So combative.
But then you don't have to.
John,
pay
they are lined. I kid
tax.
You not. They're lined up outside my building. Looking at property.
Tom.
Nobody speaks English. They're all carrying very expensive briefcases.
In the first quarter of 2016, our research showed that 48% of the transactions that closed in Manhattan sold at or above list price.
Precisely.
And so, obviously, above list price is a bidding war, and at list price is probably half of that is a bidding war. So that ends up getting you like, 25% of the transaction.
Don't be a stranger. Come by more often. Jonathan Miller with our briefing on real estate taxes.
I'm sure he will.
It's Bloomberg Surveillance. I need medication.
Coming up, though, with all due respect, highlight brought to you by Land Rover. If it's in your nature to cast off the everyday and seek adventure, the Discovery Sport was built to help your search. Visit LandRoverTriState.com or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for details. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.